Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we come before you, God. Before your wonderful throne of grace and mercy, O God. Lord, to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, O God. Lord, to offer you the praise and the honor and the glory that belongs to you, O God. Lord, we give very carefully the glory and the honor unto you, O God. Because it is you working through your people, O God. And doing mighty and wonderful things, O Lord. So, Lord, we lift up our hands, O God. In thankfulness and thanksgiving, O God, in your name and your grace, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be among us this morning, O God. Lord, to make your presence manifest in every heart, O God. Lord, everything we say, O God, to be according to your word, according to your will, O God. We thank you for your anointing, for your spirit, O God. We thank you for being a... for being a separate people for you and your glory, O Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name, O God. Glory to your wonderful name, O Jesus. We worship you, God, in spirit and in truth, O Lord. We exalt and magnify your name, O God, above every other name, O Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. This morning, I don't feel like preaching. I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you what happened these 15 months that I've been in Greece with my wife and my child. Firstly, I bring you greetings from the church in Greece. You know, you have some people that really love you there. You have some people that they're one in the most holy faith, and I really thank God for it. About 3 years ago, I had the chance, while I was here and studying, I had the chance to go in back in Greece. And I talked to many people about the Lord and about the unfolding revelation of God, but I found a really difficulty for them to receive it. It was really difficult for them to receive it. And I talked to my brother-in-law and I explained to him many things and he said, no, I don't believe anything. I don't think it's the way you say it, because he was close-minded. But then the day I was coming back, we sat and prayed with my brother-in-law's wife, who is my wife's sister. And she has a gift of prophecy. And she prophesied and said, although she was against me in a way, she didn't believe what I believed, and she thought it was wrong, the Lord spoke to her and said that I was going to bring light to Greece. So immediately she was found against herself, you know. So I came here and I continued my studies, and then I had the chance to go back again. Before the last time. And I went back and I found them just wide open. So I poured it all to them and I gave it to them, and they accepted the unfolding revelation of God and the Holy Spirit and many other wonderful things. I taught them revelation and they were really joyful and glad. So, but there were many people from that, there were few people from that group, from that church, that really were resisting, and they wanted to break fellowship from those people. And when I came here and I was going through my last year of Bible college, they had a split, the church split, and that elder and that was against all the rest of the church, he left with one more family, and that other church was left there, and they were free now to worship God as they wanted to and without restriction. So I finished my studies here and I went back with my wife, and the first thing we did was to establish them and edify them in the faith. And I was preaching to them. We had services. We had Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, the first service. Saturday night, it was a prayer service all day, all the hours, like from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock, 9:30, we would pray and ask the Lord to and seek God's face, and the Lord would do mighty things among us. And all the gifts were in operation, and it was a wonderful thing to be in that group. And then Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, we had the evening service. So we had three services a week, and God really did many things in the people's heart, and opened them in many areas, and God dealt with them, and it was a wonderful thing. And so we ministered to them for about 5 months. At that time, I felt that God did not want us to go out yet in the public ministry, because you see, we were too Americanized. In these 5 years, we became, you know, like we got many things from American culture, which are not in a way accepted in Greece. You know, for Greeks to accept you, you must be a Greek, you know, to speak like them and act like them and think like them and drive like them and do everything just like them. I tell you, I had a driving shock there, and people there are nervous. You see, Greeks are very emotional people, and they don't like to wait. You know, they want to go, you know, and there is that beautiful stop sign, and you go through the main street, and there was a guy from the stop sign going zoom right in front of you without even looking, you know. So I thought, to survive here, I must become one of them or quit driving. So I had to become one of them. So if anybody comes to Greece, you will notice this. So be careful. So these 5 months, we came back to normal, you know. We ate the same food, the same, you know. The Lord gave me a good work. What I'm doing there is I'm building fireplaces. And I thank God, because God provided wonderfully for our needs. Because when we went there, it was just as if we were just married. See, for us to come here the first time, we had to, in order to obtain the money for the ticket and the exchange that we had to have with us, we had to sell everything. So when we went back, we just didn't have anything, you know. And of course, the church gave us a good sum of money, and I appreciate that, and I really thank you for it, and helped a great deal. But the second day that I went to Greece, immediately I started working. And God met our needs, and we're just fine now. God has really took care of this area, and I'm not worrying about it at all. And after these 5 months, 6 months, God started speaking to us. And one night I was praying with my wife, and the Lord said, go to that church, and I want you to minister there, and I give you a sign for it. The people that you will go, the people that are in that church, they will accept you and show their love expressively. And the second thing is that they will immediately want you to speak. So, and this church was the church that we got married in. And we sang a couple times, a few songs, and, you know, they kind of knew us. You know, they knew what people we were. So when we went there, the people just, you know, they opened their heart, which is a very strange thing, you know. And they said, we want you to come here. You know, we feel a love for you. We want you to come here. So we said, okay, we will come. And after the service was over, the pastor came and said, do you want to preach next Sunday? I said, sure, I will. And so I preached next Sunday, and the people really were moved by the Spirit of God. You see, that church, I don't want to say the name purposely, because there are people here in Seattle that worked against us and created a bad atmosphere for us to work in Greece. So I won't say names, just, you know, trust the Lord. And that church is a denominational church. And the people actually were starving spiritually. You know, the condition was that they would come to church and listen to the message, you know, and then somebody would say amen and they will go. You know, they didn't have really actual food to eat. They were starving. So that's why I believe God sent us there. And as soon as we went there, So another minister that was relative to the pastor, he came there to that church, and he was a full gospel businessman minister. And he was, of course, full of the Holy Ghost, and he started talking to them about the Holy Ghost. You see, they don't believe in the Holy Ghost. And just openly, you know, he would tell them about the Holy Spirit. You know, of course, I couldn't do that because it would be like usurping the pastor's authority. So I just wanted the Lord to do it in his way. And he started doing it. And this man would call people down and ask them to get prayed for, and they would come down. For the first time in that history of that church, people left their chairs and came down to get prayed for. And God would just, they needed healing, they had problems, they wanted people to get saved, and one of them, who was a leader in there, a young man, he said, "I want a deeper walk with God." He said, "If you want a deeper walk with God, you must be filled with the Holy Ghost." And I said, "Amen, brother, that's the truth." And I know that you got it. And, the next Wednesday, the pastor wanted to have a study. And guess where he started studying from? Acts 1 and 2. And he started saying in Acts 1, and we had some incidents, some people standing up and saying concerning Acts 1:8, when power shall come upon you and you shall be witnesses for my name, the lady stood up and said, "Pastor, I believe that to receive power is a different experience than that of salvation, because we know that the apostles were saved. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then after that they received the power." And of course, at that time my wife was really going like this, you know, and saying, "Listen, what she says." And the pastor, of course, had the argument, you know, we all know. He said, "Yeah, of course, but in John 20:22, it says that Jesus breathed upon them and said, 'Receive ye the Holy Ghost.' So they got something there, you know." So my wife went, come on, tuck, get up and say, you know. So I stood up and said, "Yeah, but in Mark 14, I believe, it says that it was the last day that before Jesus' ascension." And he said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you shall receive power from on high." And that in John, the account in John, is the first day of resurrection, and the other is the last day that Christ was on earth, and he was still telling them to that they will receive power. That means they didn't have any power then. And he went like this, you know, he swallowed a couple times and he didn't say anything. And he went on with his study, and when he went to the second chapter, he started telling us about this an experience that the Moravians had in 1704 with the same, like, tongues and all these other things. I don't know where he found them. It's against his belief, but yet there he is. He brings them to the people. And see, I believe God is going to do something with this situation, and I want you to pray for it. I know God definitely has a plan for that church, and this church is in the center of Athens, right in the dead center. And people walk by and they see the church, but it's so dead. It's so dead that, you know, people come and then go empty, you know. But I believe God wants to raise the people there. See, although they're dead, they come because they're thirsty and they're willing to hear a word or something for Christ, you know, to get in their soul. And that's what I appreciate. I know God wants to move in that church. And that was against my thought, my belief, because I would say, no, I want to lay a non-other man's foundation. I want to start to work where Christ is not preached yet. But God just surpassed that, and he led us this way, and I believe it's God's way. And we minister to that church, and they love us very much, and we appreciate that. Another area that we minister is in the parks. We go in, and the time Lucy came, we started that, and like 2 months ago, we go out in the parks, and in the open. And we start preaching. Like we start singing. I had my guitar and Joanna and Lucy would sing with me. And people were walking up and down, you know, and they were listening to those songs, strange songs, never heard before. And they would come, you know, go up and down, and then their walk would get shorter and shorter and shorter. And then finally they were standing before us. And, you know, once five or six people were standing, then others get added and added and added. And pretty soon you have a nice crowd of 150, 200 people, you know, and they're all listening to the songs. And at that time, I stand and preach to them. And I want to tell you a few things, especially for the older students, you know, about the stepping into the anointing. Many times I felt like I was just about there to start ministering in the crowd or out in the open, and I could not feel it. Nothing, like no motion, not like sometimes when God anoints you, you know, you can feel, you know, the anointing in your body, you know, and it's good, it feels good. But sometimes I felt so dry, you know, I said, Lord, what am I going to do now, you know, and then the thought will come, walk by the principles, step in the anointing. And I felt like a dry bone, and when I started preaching, you know, I started with a high tone, you know, and boom, there it was. God anointed me and I carry on, and it was wonderful. You see, to go in the parks in the open and preach to them and gather a crowd like this, it's illegal. And it's, the state law will punish you. You go to jail maybe for, you know, a week or a month or a couple days. Depending on the men that you have to deal with. And one time, there were two policemen there, like, every time two policemen would come, they would listen, and then they would go. And one time while I was preaching, under heavy anointing, the Lord was really doing something in the people's heart. I saw that policeman leaving his post and coming straight towards me. And I said, well, I'll trust the Lord. Can't do anything else. So I kept preaching and look at him right in the eye and just like, preaching to him, you know, and he stood there and he listened for a while and then he turned and left. He didn't say anything. And that was the closest we came to having conflict with the State Department. And after we would finish the preaching, we would ask him if they want to come and pray. They want us to pray for them and we give them tracts and have discussions. And I found out these 5 years that I've been gone from Greece, that people had turned, especially the young people, turned to Marxism and Leninism and socialism. They, like most of the young people, I could hardly find one young man that was a believer. None of them. And there was a young man arguing and saying, prove me that Christ was risen. And he stood like me in front of the crowd. So he was challenging the crowd. And I told him my experience, my personal Christian testimony, and I told him about the Bible, and I told him about the historic record, so I did anything I could to persuade him, but he didn't want to be persuaded. So I said, what do you believe? He said, well, I believe in a higher power, you know. I said, yeah, that's very easy to do, because then you don't have a finger pointing at you that you're a sinner. And that you need the blood of Christ on you, that you need God. You need, you know, where if it's a higher power, it's completely independent from you, and you like that. And another man stood up and said, oh, wait a second now. This young man, he said, for me, he explicitly told us of what he believes. All details and everything, how man can obtain salvation. What do you have to say about this higher power? Because I want to know this higher power. The man said, the other man said, what is this higher power? He said, the creation. It's the creation. He said, but you are the creation. Is you the higher power that we have to believe in? The man said, he had his fiance, he was dragging him to go, you know. He said, well, I gotta go. I can't stay any longer, you know, but surely I will come to talk to you again, you know. And he just left. And then another lady, he was really tense, you know. He would stand up like this, you know, and hear what I said, and then as soon as I was done, he said,
how come you always talk about Christ, you know? Why don't you mention Mary, you know?
I said, sure, Mary was the mother of Jesus Christ, and she was a holy woman, dedicated to God. That's why God used her in a mighty way. And but she waited just as all the others to receive the Holy Ghost and be a witness of Christ. And that's what we do. We witness Christ here, you know. And I turned the subject, you know, where I wanted it to. And she was not satisfied, you know. And she said, are you Orthodox? I said, sure, I'm Orthodox. I believe just exactly as the Bible teaches, you know. And, and she was not satisfied yet. So she said, you're a heretic. I said, I didn't say anything. A woman got up and said, how come you say this? He's not a heretic. I stand here from the time he opened his mouth, he never said anything wrong. It's all according to the Bible. And that woman just, you know, dropped her ears and left, you know. She, you know, many, many incidents like this. There was another young man who came in Athens to give examinations to the Air Force. He wanted to be an officer in the Air Force. And there he was listening. And he came to me and talked to me and asked me, how can I get saved? How can I know God? Because I really want to. And as I started explaining to him the plan of salvation and how he can know God, he started shivering. And I could see goosebumps in his skin, you know, and he was really soaking it in. The next day he gave his heart to the Lord. And we have many people, many contacts, and they want us to go to their home and pray for them and give them Bible studies. So it's really wonderful. It's really wonderful. Another area, another door that God opened, it was in an island. About 3 months ago, somebody came to us and asked us if we could build for him a fireplace in an island. So we said, sure. And we took our families because it was nice there and, you know, summertime, and we were all there, and when the time for eating came, we went to a restaurant, and it was rather dark. And as soon as we were done, the man that wanted us to build his fireplace said, you know, here the people sing. They love to sing, you know, of course, worldly music, you know. And I saw a guitar, and I said, can we sing too? He said, sure, go ahead. So I went to get the guitar, and it was a broken up guitar, you know, and out of tune, and I said, Lord, anoint this guitar. I wanted to play the best now. And we got the guitar, I tuned it, and we just started singing. The woman that had the restaurant, she had to go somewhere, so as soon as we started, she went off. And as soon as she heard the song, she stood there on the window, and she was listening to the songs. And every man there just sat listening. They never heard music or, you know, songs like this. And so it was really strange for them. And that woman left the window and came and sat right in front of us. And she listened to the songs eagerly. And when we stopped saying, sing some more, you know. And we would sing some more and then sing some more and sing some more. And we would sing some more. And there was about 11 o'clock, you know, we were done. And she said, are you believers? We said, yeah, we believe in Jesus Christ. She said, you know what? 10 years ago, a man came here to eat. And he talked to me about Jesus Christ and gave me the gospel. And since then, he was old and probably died. And nobody else came to talk to me about Christ again. And I was really praying for it. And I wanted somebody to come and talk to me about Christ. And there we were, you know, just... Everybody could think that it was an incident, but, you know, God's mighty hand is there to lead and guide. And that woman, she said, I have so many people here that I want you to pray with, and I can gather them all in my house and we can all pray. So we said, fine. But she was busy, and we went about 3 weeks ago, we went again. And, but she was again busy, because it's the summer season and all the tourists would go out, you know, to the islands. And so she could not really do what she wanted to. And we planned to go during the winter time. It's 9 hours away from Athens. But I believe it's a potential door for God to start a new church there. And it's wonderful. Good people. And pretty much that's what God is doing in Greece. And we had some friction with the Pentecostal church.
See, when you get hurt the most, you get hurt from your brethren, those that are closest to the faith. And they received a letter from somebody, and they told them that I had all kinds of weird doctrines, you know, and, you know, bad things, and the pastors believed him without even questioning me. Because, you see, I had a very good report as a Christian there. I would always be active for the Lord, and I had a good testimony. But you see, people are, it seems like they like to believe in lies, you know, if they want to believe. And so they closed their doors, you know, they would not accept us to their church. And even if we would go there, they would not want us to say anything, you know. So, and before they did that, God told us about it. To prepare our hearts so that wound will not be as great. But in doing that, what happened? We were forced to go to the open and talk, give the gospel where it had not preached before. And God has many ways, you know. And many of you students that you're potential ministers for the future, when you see things like this, don't shiver. Don't worry. God is over all and He will take care of you. God has been taking care of us. I felt anointing upon me that I never had before when I was preaching. And I felt, you know, the Spirit, the gift of God flowing through me, you know, and in a mighty way. And it's really something to see God working when the people have needs and they need to be met. And as we come forth in singing and praise and preaching and giving them all the principles, you know, God meets every need. You know, one time I was praying in the church, in that group of people that we had in Athens, and the Lord got me up and said, and go to that lady and pray. You know, so I got up and went to that lady and started praying, and the Lord started talking to her. She was in a big trouble, big problem, marital problem. I didn't know anything about it. So the Lord just talked to her and said, your problem is over right now. And I didn't know what was the problem, you know. And then she told me that as soon as I finished the prayer, you know, God has solved everything. You know, it was a bodily thing that God healed her right away. And that was causing a problem among the two, you see. And God healed her immediately. And she went and she noticed it. And the two were happy and they were really rejoicing after that. And I saw God doing healings, wonderful healings in the people. It's wonderful to minister for the Lord. It's really excellent. It's wonderful to feel, God flowing through you, you know. But that's not the point. You know, many think that, ooh, it's good to get anointed and preach, you know, and heal the people and do this and that. That's not it. The most important thing for me in these 15 months, it was my relationship with Christ. God is taking me in deeper ways and in deeper dedication to, and I dedicated my life completely to Him. And especially when you're in a situation where at any moment the police can come when you're preaching and take you in, boy, you better be with Christ. You know, you better be connected with the Lord because, they have many ways of doing bad things on you and even in your mental world. And I read many stories of people persecuted they were done many things to them. Only those that had that relationship with Christ, they survived and they were still with God. The general spiritual situation in Greece, it's rather a cold situation. You know, it's very cold. The people there, you know, they don't like too much of God, you know, like we were in that restaurant in that island. There was a big company. A man had baptized his child in the Orthodox Church. And he called all these people, you know, to join. And, it was time for getting married, you know, and happy and everything. And there we were singing. And that man got up and as soon as we finished the songs, he said, how can I obtain this? How can I know God? We said, well, just open your heart and ask the Lord to forgive you from your sins, accept the blood sacrifice, and receive Christ as your personal Savior, and mean that. Believe it, and it will happen in your life. And another man got up and said, well, okay, now that's good enough. You know, let's stop singing. Let's sing. Do you know how to sing any other songs? I said, thank God, no, we don't. And he said, well, look, we were 3 hours in the church, meaning the Orthodox church, and we did everything it was to be done in the morning. You know, now it's time to rejoice. You know, now it's time to, you know, to sing a little bit and, you know, drink a little bit and do everything, a little bit of everything, you know. And that's the mind that is in the Orthodox church and in all Catholic church, you know. Like in the... church, you know, with a good clothes and stand there, you know, and take that righteous face, you know, and then after the church is over, you know, they would swear and, you know, do anything they want. They would go to different nightclubs, and that's the mind of the people, you see. And when you see you struggling to preach to them Christ, you know, and they think something wrong with you, you see. So God has to shake the mentality. And how is going to shake it? By your prayers. We need your prayers. We need a backing up of prayer. I appreciate the people that told me that they were praying for us. It meant something to me, you know. When you're standing there all alone with nobody else, but myself, my wife, and Lucy, and another brother, it's hard. You know, you feel like, boy, you're just alone. You're so many people there and you're alone. But if you have this backing up of prayer, you know, it's something different. You know, you're connected with the body, with people that they care. You know, they pray for you, and they bring you before the Lord. And it has been a very tiring thing for me physically, because I had to work long hours, and I had to minister a lot too. But God bestowed His grace upon me, and I'm making it just fine. As you can see, I'm healthy and strong, and it's God's grace. It's God's grace. And one thing I saw, it was that, as Sister Thiel shared this morning, we can't do it ourselves. We have to totally depend upon Christ. As I would see the people and I would feel their needs, you know, and I would feel the desperation. And there are so many, it's so vast, you know. See, Greece is not, nobody stood up and said anything, just as we did. Nobody went out in the open and preached to them openly the gospel, the truth. So in a way, it was good because they're not gospel hardened. But in another way, it's a difficult thing because they don't know what to think about it. They never heard such a thing. To them, it's Greek Orthodox, you know, connected with the government. You know, like fighting the Turks, there are the priests, you know, going in front of the army, you know, to fight the Turks. Everything that they would do, like any, even starting the exhibition, you know, of Thessalonica, where all Europe brings merchandise and things, you know, the priest would be there, you know, and it's something connected in the heart of the people, and I know how it is because I've been there, I was that way, you know, and God has to completely remove that thing. And God already started doing some things. Many priests were found in adultery and committing gross sin, you know, like, there was that island that we went to build a fireplace and we met that family. That priest was caught selling a part of one saint's body for, I don't know, 40 or 50,000 drachmas. And the people almost killed him. But you see, the people started seeing that the priesthood is nothing else but a corrupt thing. And another man, he was I don't know, in a big area, he was the archpriest, you know, I don't know his rank, but he pretty high rank and pretty esteemed from the government and the people. And he was caught in adultery with, they filmed him and they had pictures of the adultery and it was thing in newspapers and the people got really disgusted, you know, and recently Lucy told me that, they had a theater and a sketch in the theater was about this priest, you know, and all the gross sins that they were committing. And the people were so hard set against the church and the church system, they hated it so much
that when somebody would say something for the church, there would be complete quietness in the crowd. When somebody would, of the actors, you know, would come and say something against the church, they would clap and, you know, and yell, you know, and, hey, yeah, that's it, you know, let them have it, you know. And so the people started turning now. And to this, communism helps, you know, because in order to introduce their doctrine, you know, they have to destroy the church faith and feeling, you know, towards the church. So they really bring down the church and they magnify the sin that there is and the inconsistencies. You see, but that helps us too, because those who want God and see what they believe is wrong, they open themselves, you know, and for something new that God has for them. And as time progresses, I believe God has to do mighty things. But you know, it depends on us. It depends on me if I walk with the Lord, if I have God in my heart, if I walk holy before the Lord and softly before the Lord and give the glory of the Lord to whom it belongs to, you know, God will do these things. Right. If I don't, nothing will happen. Many times I would find myself really tired, you know, not feeling anything, just, you know, completely dead, you know, because I was exhausted, tired. And it would be time to minister. Time to get up and preach in the church and minister to the people, you know. And if you don't learn here to operate these principles and overcome your weaknesses of your character and overcome yourself and anything that will raise against you, even this deadness, which is not of God, but, you know, it's a human thing, you will not be successful. So I had to stand up and preach. And every time, I don't remember one time that God left me. Not one time I felt really dry and not being able to preach, you know, and I got up and preached anyway. God, it was one of the best sermons I have ever delivered to the people, you see. So we have to learn. And my heart is especially for the students, you know, and I know most of you are students here. And I was one of you. And as you face your character, don't just go away from it. Deal with it. Deal with your problems now. Get free. I appreciate the camp meeting, the deliverances. You know that many people think, wow, look, this body has a lot of sin. You know? And that's true. But this body has a lot of deliverance and a lot of freedom that I don't think any other church has. And we need that. We need to get free. Free to be able to flow with the Lord. You know, when you're out there and you still have to fight with yourself, it's the hardest thing in the world. When you're out there and you have marriage problems, yet it's the hardest thing in the world. You can't minister. The anointing is off from you. You can't do anything. So take care of it now. Now God is calling you, that God is wooing you, you know, just yield, 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 yield. And as God will begin to move solidify all these areas that need to be solid in your life, you'll find yourself free. And as soon as you're free, God will start moving in you, you know, and in other ways. I thank you. I love you very much. You're very dear to my heart. And we pray for you in Greece. And one day I will send you an open invitation from Greece to Community Chapel. And pretty soon I will do that. So I would love to see teams and people coming to Greece minister to us. And I know God has many things for Greece. God has to change Greece. Greece is a needy nation. It needs God. And the people there that, like those that were, they brought the gospel at first, they didn't work hard. In Italy, they worked hard. Like in 1940s and 1950s, you know, there were people in Italy that worked really hard for the gospel, and they had a large movement now in Italy. In Greece, I don't know why, it was because of the hardness of the people, they had not much success. And there is a prophecy, I want to share that with you. See, the Bible says, the first shall become last, and the last shall become first. So, the end of the earth, here in America, you know, it's first. As far as spirituality and knowing the truth and giving the truth, you know, and we know that America and England, you know, gave the gospel. And the last came first. But the first will come last. And that's one thing that
I've heard from one sister here, and I know it, people in Greece, you know, God has been witness that. And the last people to get saved, I believe, as a nation, they're the Jews. And, but before the Jews, they're the Greeks, because they were the first one to receive the truth. And it seems like it's the last nation in the world to accept the Jews to receive the gospel and have a revival. Greece never had a revival. Never. In the history of nations, a spiritual history. But I believe pretty soon there's going to be one. But we have to work hard and pray and ask the Lord for mercy and grace upon the people. Amen.